And I open up my Bible and I read in my Bible, particularly in the New Testament, the covenant that we're under. I look for two things. I look for a lot of things, but two are primary in front of my mind, and that is, what am I supposed to do for God? So I'm reading a verse. What am I supposed to do here for God? And then the second thing that I often look for is, what has God said that He will do for me? The first look is my responsibility. I'm reminded of my responsibilities. But when I'm reading my Bible and I read what God has said He will do for me, that gives me comfort and consolation. In the scripture reading that we just had there with Levi in Nehemiah chapter 9, this is a great chapter after the walls have been rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah, and there's a worship service, there's a Bible reading in chapter 8, there's a prayer in chapter 9, there's a covenant renewal in chapter 10, and in chapter 11 and 12 there's a worship service. In chapter 9, this great chapter that includes the Levites and the Israelites offering up a prayer to God, notice in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you have made the heaven, the heavens of heavens with all their host, and the earth and all the things that are thereon, the seas and all that is in them, and thou preservest them all. I want you to underscore in your Bible or in your mind the statement, He preserves them all. We might read over that quickly and not think about that. God not only creates, verse 6, but He, through His providence, preserves everything He creates, and that includes us. We just sang, God will take care of you, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. God not only creates, Genesis 1 verse 1, but He preserves everything He creates up until this day and on into the future. We've been studying, and I appreciate Phil and Jeff taking us through the book of 1 and 2 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter. As we were going through 1 and 2 Peter, I was looking for two things. I was looking for, what am I supposed to do for God? And I'm taking note of that, and I'm asking myself, am I doing these things? But when I open my Bible, I also look at what has God said that He will do for me. And that gives me comfort and encouragement. And I read, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 5, that He said that He would guard me with His power. And I read in chapter 3 in verse 12 that He would hear my prayers and His eyes would be upon me, meaning His, again, His providential care and observance in my life. And I read in chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7 that if I'll humble myself and cast my anxiety upon Him, He cares for me. He cares for me. And when I read in chapter 5 and verse 10 that He's the God of all grace and He's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me. And I come over to 2 Peter, and while much of it has to do with false teaching, I come over to 2 Peter in chapter 3, and I read in verse 9 that He's long-suffering toward me. The you in that verse is not sinners out in the world. We can certainly apply this to that, but the you in this verse is Christians. When Peter says He's long-suffering to you, that's Christians. And I read in chapter 3 and verse 18 that I can grow in the grace, not just the knowledge, but the grace, the blessing, the favor of Jesus Christ. So I read what I'm supposed to do for God, but I also read what God said He's going to do for me. And that gives me great comfort and consolation and encouragement. Let's talk a little bit this morning about Peter's statement, He cares for you. There's a lot going on in people's lives today and in the lives of members of this congregation. And it's good to be reminded that God cares for us. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43 before we get into our lesson. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. As you're turning over there, I want us to be reminded that God cares for us. And there's a lot going on in people's lives, and there doesn't necessarily have to be anything going on special in a person's life to want to know that God cares for us. But certainly if a person this morning is troubled in some way, is burdened in some way, some people feel alone and they ask about, is God there? Some are weighed down and they're wondering if God can help them. But maybe you don't have anything like that negative in your life this morning. Maybe things are fine in your life, but you just simply want to know, is God there? And we wonder that sometimes. Things are going fine. There's no particular problem that we're addressing. But we wonder in the back of our mind, is God there? Is he caring for what I'm doing today? And of course, the answer is yes. But especially those who have special needs, that is often on their mind. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. When we read this text, especially when we get down into it, you just ask yourself, who talks like this today? I don't hear anybody talking like this today. We need this kind of talk. I don't hear people talking like this today. Isaiah 43 is in a section of Scripture that runs from chapter 40 through 46. And for years, I've got so many sermon ideas, I can't get to all of them, but I've wanted to do a series on Isaiah 40 through 46. It's a section of Isaiah where Isaiah is extolling the incomparable greatness of God. And in each chapter, he's pulling out the greatness of God, often because of his creation and what he's doing for his creation. Isaiah 40 through 46. If you want to get a picture of the greatness of God sometime, just sit down and read those seven chapters. Because Israel at this time, some of them are forgetting about his greatness and they're going after false gods and so forth. Things that are weak and not the great God that they have, and Isaiah is trying to remind them of that. So in that section, right in the middle of that section, look at Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Who in the world talks like that today? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. We need to hear that kind of language. For I am Jehovah, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. All four points of the compass. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. But notice that God not only creates and makes things, but He's with them. I will be with thee, verse 2. And when you pass through the river and when you pass through the fire, I'm going to help you through that. Who talks like that? Brethren, we need to be reminded this morning of God's providence, as I know that you already think about those things. The English word providence is an interesting word. Inside that word providence is the word provide. God not only creates, but He preserves and protects what He creates. He provides for His creation. Now, you know that I'm fond of word studies, so you were probably thinking, here comes the word study. So here comes the word study. Not the Greek word or the Hebrew word. I'm going to talk about the English word. Look at that English word, provide. Pro, ahead, and videre. This is a Latin word. It's an English word that comes from Latin. Literally, to see, videre. We get video from that. Video games and things like that. Literally, to see ahead. And the reason I want to talk about this is, when we think of providence, we think of, well, God cares for me, and He does. But literally, it's because God can see ahead and know what's going to happen in your life. I can't do that. You can't do that. It's not just caring for you. He sees in advance what is going on and is already making plans to do this or to do that. Provide. When God provides, He looks ahead. We may or may not get the weather report right. We may or may not get the stock market right, playing the stock market game. We attempt to kind of look ahead on some things, but we don't have the foreknowledge that God has. And so this morning, I want us to be reminded of this great doctrine. And when I read 1 Peter 5:7, like I did recently in our adult Bible class, and I read that statement, for He cares for you. I thought about how that would be good to be reminded of that at this time. You know, you go back through the Bible, and you see all kinds of examples. This clearly is not an exhaustive list, but just a few things that came to my mind to remind us of how God takes care of people. You look at Joseph, for example, when he's thrown in prison in Genesis chapter 39, more than once we're told, for Jehovah was with him. And Jehovah, verse 45 and verse 50, had sent him to Egypt and brought him there to save a people alive. Now, did Joseph have to go through some terrible things? Yes, but the text says Jehovah was with him. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, when Israel was passing through the wilderness for 40 years. The text says, God says to them, I did not allow your garments to wear out, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. He provided the water and the manna and everything they needed. God took care of Daniel and his friends. And what's interesting about Daniel 3:28, that's not Daniel talking, and that's not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talking. Turn to Daniel 3:28. That's a pagan king Nebuchadnezzar. The pagan king Nebuchadnezzar said, God sent his angel to carry you out of that fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even pagan ungodly people recognize the providence of God. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, how that God had stopped the mouth of the lion. God sees ahead, brethren. And He's going to make sure He will take care of you and help you with that. God took care of Esther. Wicked Haman had a plot to kill the Jews. And He took care of Esther and Mordecai. And there's statements not only about Esther being raised up to be a savior, but Mordecai in chapter 6 and verse 13 and chapter 9 and verse 4, how that Mordecai increased in his favor and in his ability to do work there right in Shushan or Susa, the palace area where the king is, that even Mordecai is increasing in his ability to influence people. Some people have a problem with the book of Esther because God is not specifically or personally mentioned in the book. And there's no verse in the Bible that says that God has to be mentioned in a book before that book can be inspired. We've got to be careful about placing our modern day ideas about what should or should not be in a book, thrust that back on an Old Testament book. But God is on every page of the book of Esther, even though His name is not mentioned there. And when God took care of Esther, Esther took care of her people. God took care of the returning Jews who came back from the Babylonian captivity. He stirred up the heart of Cyrus, and He stirred up the heart of the Jews to come back. After the temple is finished in chapter 6 and verse 22, He caused them to have joy. And in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it was through the providence of God that the walls were completed. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It wasn't just Nehemiah and some men and women, and I include women because Nehemiah chapter 3 talks about Shalom and his daughters were working on the wall. It's not just that Nehemiah and men and women are doing physical work, but God is a part of that as well. And in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16, again, when our enemies heard that all the nations that were round about us feared and were much cast down, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They perceived it. Even outsiders know that God is working in our life. I've had that happen to me every once in a while. Every once in a while. And it might be because I'm a preacher and somebody finds out that that's my work and they strike up a religious conversation. But every once in a while, I've actually had people, what we would say out in the world, they're not Christians, and they'll say something to me like, well, I can tell that God loves you, or I can tell that God is working in your life. People admit that. Or I can tell that God has blessed you. We don't need proof here this morning. We don't need proof. The world might need proof, but these are just simply, maybe I should reword it, these are simply reminders of how God does these things for so many, and He does that for us. You come to the New Testament and you find the same thing. What does the verse say after Jesus was tempted and the devil left Him? What does that verse say? Matthew 4:11. What does that verse say? That angels came and ministered unto Him. Who sent those angels? What does the text say in Luke 22:43 when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane pouring out His heart? What does it say when He got done praying three times? Not my will, but Thy will be done. What does the text say? An angel came to strengthen Him. Even Jesus is not left out of the providence of God. And what did God do for Peter in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 11, when Peter was in prison? He sent an angel to let him out of prison. Now you might be thinking at this point, oh, no, wait a minute. You know, they're getting some extra providence here because these things involve angels, and I don't know if I'm getting any angels. Well, that may not necessarily be the case. I do believe Hebrews 1:14, are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? I don't preach or teach a personal guardian angel, but because of Hebrews 1:14, I believe God can still use angels to minister to those who will inherit salvation. I don't see them. I can't tell you in a particular instance if one was involved, but I do believe Hebrews 1:14. And even if God is not using an angel in a particular providential matter today for us, He can certainly operate in many other ways. And we don't have to see that or know the particulars of that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had somebody tell you, so-and-so is praying for you? You ever had somebody tell you that? And that person, you didn't even know them? When they said to you, so-and-so is praying for you, did that help you in any kind of way? Absolutely. It helped you. You don't know who they are. You never heard the words out of their mouth, and you didn't actually see them pray. But just hearing the statement, so-and-so is praying for you, immediately brought you comfort and consolation. And that's what these passages should do for us in the Scripture when we read 1 Peter 5:7 and several others that says He cares for you. That alone should encourage us, even if we don't know the details of that. God took care of Paul. And not only Paul, but when you turn over to Acts 27, the text says that when God, through that angel again, was speaking to Paul, it's not just Paul, but when Paul heard this vision, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. Lo, God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. It wasn't just taking care of Paul, but these ungodly sailors that are with him. And Paul makes it to shore, and the others do, and he goes on his way to Rome. God hath granted thee all them that sail with thee. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. It reminds me of Daniel 6. Apparently, Paul had to face something of the same sort. And he will deliver me from every evil work, Paul said. Even when nobody was with him at his first defense, the Lord stood by my side, Paul said, and strengthened me. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 27, with regard to the personal health. Somebody says, well, what about my health? Well, God cares about that too. Epaphroditus, we're not given the details, in Philippians chapter 2, was sick unto death. And Paul was sore troubled, since he longed after you all and was sore troubled because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him. And so in verse 28 and 29 and 30, he's able to come and bring a message to Philippi from Paul. God had mercy on him. Brethren, God sees ahead. He cares for you. And He cares for me. And that's something that we always need to keep in mind. When we get up each day and we're bearing whatever we're bearing, and again, it may not be something that we're bearing. We might just be having a good day. But it's good to be reminded that there's someone around us and over us and through us and in us and all of that. And that is God. So let's remind ourselves of some of these things today. Somebody says, well, you know, we've been reading about some special characters. Well, obviously Jesus gets the providence of God and the Apostle Paul, and of course Daniel is, and Esther, these great individuals. But what about little old me? The Scripture says that the same promise is to us. Our name doesn't have to be mentioned in the Scripture to know that God is going to take care of us. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 37 in verse 25? What did he say there? Is that promise in Psalm 37:25 just for the important individuals in the Bible? No, it's for all disciples, all who would follow the Lord. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of the righteous. Matthew 10 and Luke 12, the very hairs of your head are numbered, and you're more value than the sparrows. And Jesus said, not one of them falls without your Father. Yesterday, I was out in the sunroom, and this happens a few times in the year. Poor thing. Out of the corner of my eye, here comes the bird. Boom! Hits the ground. And I was thinking about this passage. God knows the movements of every bird, and even when they fall. And Jesus said, you're worth more than the sparrows, and the very hairs of your head are numbered. He cares for you. That's why you cast all of your anxiety on Him. 1 Peter 5:7. And while it is fine to think about other things, and I don't want to go off into an area that is sensitive and touchy and bothersome to some, without going off into an area and digressing, there are people who turn to other things to get help, and that's fine. But let me just say, in addition to that, always make sure that God is your first help. There may be a situation where there has to be something else you do or take or whatever, but always let God be your first help. And He's there to care for us. And you know what? This is not just simply to His disciples and Christians today. He cares for all mankind, even the most wicked person. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. They need a drink too. And in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are talking to these pagan individuals in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and he says that God sends you fruitful seasons. And in Acts chapter 17, when Paul is on Mars Hill preaching to these, again, idolatrous pagan Athenians, he says, you are His offspring, number one. And number two, in Him, God, we, and He's including these pagan Athenian people, we live and move and have our very being. That includes people out in the world that aren't even Christians yet. God is upholding them in His providential care. Indeed, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow that is cast by turning. God does not change. So yes. So this morning, let's remind ourselves of some things. God cares about your temptations. Young people, if you're tempted with something, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, or whatever else it might be, He cares about that. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 that you, in this prayer that I'm giving you that acts like a model
one thing you need to say to God is, deliver us from the evil one. And he will provide, 1 Corinthians 10:13, a way of escape.
He cares about temptation. Somebody says, well, man, temptations are hard. And they are. And he cares about that. And so he's going to provide a way of escape, but you got to take it. You know, God cares about your daily provisions. Jesus mentions specifically food, what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will put on, the raiment that you will put on. Just daily provisions.
Well, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear?
Jesus said, you put the kingdom first, and all of these things shall be added unto you. God cares about your daily provisions. And again, sometimes you'll notice these things that we're going to look at. Sometimes it's not someone who's just weighed down heavily. It could be somebody who's having a really good day. But we just need to remember that God is providing. Sometimes, even when people are having a great day, they forget about the providence of God. It might be more like, well, you know, I've got to work and make money. And I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. We're not necessarily weighed down by heavy things in life. But things might be going great. But we need to be reminded of the providence of God. Make sure we keep the kingdom first. You know, God will take care of your afflictions. Paul said that God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in all our afflictions. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Well, he'll do that. God will take care of you with your daily cares and your daily needs. Not once. But Paul says, cast your care on him. And then in verse 19 of Philippians 4, he says, my God will supply every need of yours. Again, this is good to be reminded of because we might be having a good day. Things are normal in our life. And we're just saying, wait, you know, I got to do this. I got to do this because I have needs. Just remember that God behind the scenes is going to take care of everything you need. We do need to go out and do our part, of course. But it helps us in making adjustments with regard to our work and our schooling and things like that. Just keep everything in its proper perspective. We need to do our part, but put the kingdom first. Our needs will be taken care of. Preaching and teaching and talking with others. Are there family members that we need to talk to about the gospel? Are there friends that we need to talk to about the gospel? God cares about that. And he's going to open up a door for you to share the word with somebody. But you got to go through the door. You got to walk through the door. And we've got to open up our mouths and start talking with people. But God cares about those people that we need to talk to. And he's using us to talk with them. And he's going to open up that door. God cares about your adversaries. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3. Not everybody out there is our friend. Not everybody out there is on the Lord's side. And there's going to be opponents and adversaries, and there's going to be individuals who are opposed to the truth. And Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified. This same idea of God opening up doors to preach to others, even as also it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not faith. Lord, help us with the unreasonable and evil men. People who are loud and boisterous about evil things. And maybe down the road where there's more adversaries against Christianity, you see some of it even today, and it seems like it's getting worse.
God will help us with our adversaries. God will help us with our nation's leaders. We need to pray for kings and those who are in high place. 1 Peter 2:1. If we learn anything from Daniel chapter 4, when God humbled Nebuchadnezzar and made him eat like an animal out in the field, we learn that God rules, God Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and He puts people on thrones and He takes them off thrones. Pray to God. And I'm not making any suggestion about our current leadership. That's not my point. I'm talking about any person at any time. God's mindful of that. And we always pray for leaders and kings and rulers in high place, that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness. We do our part. We vote and we do different things. But God puts people on the throne and He takes them off. God works in the heart of the king, the proverb tells us. He stirred up Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1, and He continues to work through nations' leaders today. We've got to continue praying. God will take care of you in your necessities. This is why we don't need to have a covetousness in our lives. We don't have to have a covetous heart where I got to hold on to all of my material stuff. You know, my money and my stuff, and I work for my stuff, and it's all about my stuff. We don't need to have a heart of covetousness. Why? Because God's going to take care of us. I will not leave you or forsake you. The Lord is my helper. He's always going to be there. I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? So be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. So young people, well, I've got to get an education, which I encourage, and I've got to get a good job, which I encourage. That's great. But be careful when we get out later in life and it's all about work, and I got a bunch of stuff on the credit card and I got to work and pay that off and work more because I got to have stuff and I've got needs and clothes and food and something to drink. God's going to provide these things. And if it means cutting back so that I can put the kingdom first, which involves my attendance and my Bible study and other things, God's going to provide these necessities. We don't have to chase the almighty dollar. God will take care of us. He'll take care of my mind and my thinking. James says that if we lack wisdom, pray to God. Pray to God. And not only does he say, let him ask of God, but he says, who giveth to all liberally, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I need help with my thinking. I need help with my mind, my wisdom. I need to apply God's Word in my life. I need to make better choices. Wisdom to make choices. Wisdom to know what to say at the right time. Anything involved in my thinking, God is there to help us with that. I don't have to turn to the philosophies of men and things like that for that part of my life. God will take care of you and your health. What are we supposed to do when we're sick? Chapter 5 and verse 14, we're to pray. We're to sing when we're cheerful, and we're to pray when we're suffering. Verse 14, verse 13, if any man is suffering, let him pray. And if anyone be sick, verse 14, call for the elders. To do what? Let them pray over him. John hoped that Gaius, his health would be prospering just like his soul was. God cares about our health. God cares about our prayers. And He will hear them if we ask according to His will. God will take care of you. And He cares about your salvation. We'll close with this point. He cares about your salvation. He wants you to be saved from sin. He sent His Son, John 3:16. He loves you. He loves the whole world. He sent His Son to die on the cross. Roger read some of that around the Lord's table. That one gift. Wow, the greatest gift of all. That one gift that resulted in the possibility of all mankind being saved. We've got to come to Him. You've got to be baptized into Christ. But He cares about your salvation. And through His grace, the grace of God has brought salvation to all mankind. But you've got to come and obey that gospel. And as a child of God, if you're erring in some way, you've got to come back. What's the point, brethren? God cares about every aspect of your life. He is a shepherd, and we will not want or lack for anything. God will take care of you. I'm so glad that He's able to look ahead, provide, look ahead. He knows what's going to happen with you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and so forth. And He's ready to step in there and give you what you need. And hopefully, when we read our Bible and we see what we're supposed to be doing for God, hopefully that raises a level of responsibility in our minds. But when we read those Bible passages where God is going to do something for us, I hope that raises the level of comfort and consolation of what He's promised He's going to do for us. You look at these men and women that we talked about earlier in the Old and New Testament. They had stresses and strains. Can you imagine Esther? I'm going to kill all your people. Wow. That heavy burden. And then they get up each day and they serve God, and God steps in and helps them. Let's get up each and every day and do what we have to do with all the different things going on in our life, knowing that God will take care of you. Keep being obedient. Keep being faithful. Keep praying. Keep serving the Lord. And He's going to do those things for you. What a great promise and consolation that is. We're going to stand and sing, I Am His Child. Isn't it great that we can have someone who will help us through the river and help you through the fire? Isn't that great? Come and put on Christ today. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing?